The Walking Dead Talk Through, Episode 29, Always Accountable Review.
Welcome to The Walking Dead Talk Through, a fan podcast dedicated to The Walking Dead on AMC. Join us each week as we discuss the characters, story developments, and theories of The Walking Dead. Send in your thoughts about each episode by calling 304-837-2278 or by visiting our feedback page at goldenspiralmedia.com/feedback. And now, here's your hosts, Brian and Ruthie.
Hey, survivors, welcome to another episode of The Walking Dead Talk Through. I'm Brian.
And I'm Ruthie.
And tonight we talk about always being accountable, or I guess it's always accountable. Ha ha ha. Always Accountable was written by Heather Belson and directed by Jeffrey F. January. And now we'll go into our news and ratings. We have one news item and our ratings, of course. Ratings were up this week from last week. The Walking Dead got 6.51 in the 18 to 49. That's up from 6.19. So that's good whenever we can get that.
That is good.
And the number of viewers went up about 430,000, I guess. 12.871 million versus 12.44 million. But it didn't beat football in the ratings Sunday night. Football was higher. So
it's hard to beat football.
And in case you were wondering, I won't normally feature their ratings, but if you were curious about how Into the Badlands did, because it was premiering right after The Walking Dead, it got a 3.15 in the 1849 with 6.4 million. So that's not bad. I know Fear The Walking Dead got better, and I think Better Call Saul was better than that. But of course, it had Breaking Bad to fall upon. But my feelings about the show were right on. I didn't like it.
I have not actually had a chance to watch it yet, so I have nothing to say on the matter as of yet.
Okay, Talking Dead was affected by the later time, and it got a 1.6 in the 18 to 49 with 3.111 million. And that's what it said on the thing. What can I say? That compares to 2.46. And in the 1849, 4.935 million last week. So definitely ratings were lower. I'm not surprised by this, considering it was an hour later.
Yeah, man, that's like past my bedtime, pretty much. I can't stay up that late to watch that show.
Yeah.
I had to watch that one later, too.
Yeah.
And I liked it, though. It was funny.
And considering, you know, that also meant that the replay of Walking Dead was not until midnight. We have one news item, and I don't know if it wasn't out there last week, but I didn't see it. But Alana Masterson, who, of course, plays Tara on The Walking Dead, and her boyfriend, a very hard guy, he must be hard because his name is Brick Stoll, Alana gave birth to...
I was going to say, wow!
Yeah, Brick didn't give birth. Yeah,
that
together.
Is definitely a hard guy.
Yeah. Anyway, Alana gave birth to their baby daughter on November 5th, so a couple of weeks ago. The name, I was unable to find the name. I don't think it has been released yet.
They probably didn't release it yet. Not surprising. I mean, I guess they are entitled to have some things be private.
Yeah. Anyway, so now for our ratings of the show. I liked it about as much as the Morgan episode, so I gave that an 8.5, so I guess I'd give this 8.5 walkers encased in glass, or, I did it again, I don't remember this one, I'm terrible. I don't remember my own little bones. Yeah.
That's funny.
Well, I'll remember it in a minute. But it was 8.5. Loose ends make my ass itch.
Oh, gosh. That is... Callie, did you see that link that the Walking Dead Facebook page shared about the Abrahamisms or whatever? It was funny. 10 best Abrahamisms.
He had a lot of them.
Yes. Yes, he did. For sure. I mean, he always has that. He had a lot. Okay, so I watched this episode on the closed captions, and I mean, it was more than just the big ones that stick out, like dollars to donuts and, you know, loose ends make my ass itch and all that stuff. But yeah, definitely hilarious. Mine, I had a few this time too. I don't know. They just kind of jumped out at me. Sometimes I am completely stuck and I just can't think of anything. But I gave it 8.632 scorched earth walkers, or missing motorcycles, or deliberate footprints, or RPGs.
I think that one that I can't remember has something to do with RPGs. I think a letter's missing. That's why I couldn't remember it.
ITRPG.
Well, like I said, I was trying to add to the notes via my phone, and I think it butchered what that was supposed to say. Anyway, the last one was good enough. So we got some ratings from some other of our people. Sophie gave it 7 Chekhov's rocket launchers.
Robert C. says, I rate this ep 8.5 cigar boxes.
Jeff, going in the cigar theme, 7.5 unsmoked cigars.
Dieta says, my rating is 8 out of 10 abandoned army vehicles with lots of nice weapons.
Lynn gave this episode 8, and I must agree with her. 8, please no love triangles.
Cutter gives it 8 out of 10 shoulder-mounted missiles, or 8 out of 10 coolers of insulin. And didn't you just know he was going back once he saw it? Yes. Yes, I did.
I did, too.
Because that's the kind of person that Daryl is. I have words to say about that, too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay. So, that's it for our rating. So, now it's time for...
Awesome Sauce!
Awesome Sauce. So, actually, it's funny we mentioned the insulin thing, so because that's my first awesome sauce. It has been a long time since we've seen anyone in the apocalypse that has been affected by any serious medical condition. You have to go way back to episode 4, the Vatos episode. So that hardly even counts. The nursing home where, you know, the whole standoff got interrupted because one of the patients had asthma.
Mm-hmm.
And we haven't seen anything like that. So I
thought the standoff got interrupted because the old lady walked out.
Well, yes, but she walked in because...
because the guy was... Okay.
Because the guy was...
Gotcha.
Yeah. So I have sleep apnea, right? And I am somewhat dependent on having a CPAP that I wear every night. So if there was an apocalypse and I didn't have any power, I could probably survive. But if I slept the wrong way or something,
wow, that's,
it wouldn't be good.
Yeah, that's a little scary.
And, you know, there's a lot of people, you know, like high blood pressure, you know, people that have, you know, all sorts of medical conditions are dependent upon their medicine. And
yep.
What would they be like in the apocalypse if they couldn't get it?
I don't know, man. It'd be hard.
Yeah. Okay. So that's my first. What about you?
My first one, I almost giggled when I saw this. I thought it was hilarious. It was one of those TV things where, you know, the person is looking the other way and the other guy creeps past. Well, that's kind of what they did, only with cars, because you see the Jeep drive by and then Daryl across the screen, across the street from the opposite direction or not the opposite direction, but driving, like, you know, crossways from the way that the car, anyway, you guys know what I was talking about. It was about 5 minutes in. It was hilarious. Less than 5 minutes even. Yeah. It was super funny. You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah, I do.
Okay, good.
It seems so stupid because it wasn't like you would have thought that he would have waited a little bit before crossing the street.
Yeah, well, how long do you want to stare at a blank screen just to get that kind of payoff, honestly?
That's true. Okay, well, my next awesome sauce, we kind of alluded to it already, but Abraham's goofy way of speaking. I think Abraham and Eugene come from the same school or something, even though they didn't know each other.
They're cut from the same cloth, that's for sure.
Yeah. And we mentioned loose ends make my ass itch. Of course, after he comes back with the rocket launchers, he says a couple of the fruit of some off the charts stupidity, which is colorful, not so much, unusual, I guess. But right after that, he says, grade A butt steak idiocy.
Yep.
And he said a lot of things.
He did.
All the way, just watch.
Your precious leathers.
Yeah, your precious leathers.
It's like, what the heck is a precious leather?
That's what I was wondering, man. That myself. Precious leathers.
I mean, the only thing I could imagine is that he's referring to, like, okay, so leather comes from a cow's hide, right? And a hide is typically like your backside or something, right? So I guess he's kind of saying something like, are we going to sit here with our butts in our hands or something? I don't know, but it was precious leathers, holding our precious leathers. It's like, what does that even mean?
Yeah. But he had a lot of interesting things to say, and some of it I think we'll get to later. But
I'm from the South for the most part. I mean, it's kind of Midwest South, and there are some things that Southern people say that I don't even understand. I mean, it's not deep South like Georgia, Alabama, but it's not Yankee North, so.
Yeah, you're kind of like West?
Midwest.
South? Yeah.
Midwest South, yep. Almost smack dab in the middle, but that honor goes to Kansas, I think. Maybe Nebraska. Yes. But Texas is pretty darn big, so we could be almost in the middle.
All right. What is your next awesome sauce?
Okay. My next one was the walker that wriggled himself free, but kindly left the RPG behind.
Yes.
I thought that was funny, but also, like, man, how the heck did he get himself in that predicament? Like, what happened to cause him to end up like that? That's something I wouldn't mind seeing.
I had wondered if, you know, one had gone off or something like that, because he looked like he had been impaled by the fence.
Or something. But, I mean, not only is he impaled by the fence, he's hanging off a building. So weird.
Yeah. I had one more awesome sauce that didn't make the my notes, but it had to do with Daryl's ricochet, if you want to call it, him throwing that sound, which causes the one guy, I think his name was Cam, to get bitten. It was, you know, you don't want to laugh because of somebody getting bitten, but it was kind of ingenious that Daryl did that.
Yeah, I'm glad you said that, because I was wondering, both times I watched this episode, I was wondering, how did he not see that thing there?
The way that I saw it, it looked like it was the way he was coming at it, he was kind of shielded from it. And
I guess
when he, you know, and he was, I guess Daryl could see that he was coming very close to that tree, and obviously he came a little too close to that tree.
A little bit.
Yeah.
There were a lot of really weird, like, walker situations in this episode.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like the helmet one when Daryl falls over. I was like, wow, that's weird and disconcerting.
Yeah. And of course I mentioned the, walkers encased in glass.
Yeah, that was super crazy.
Yeah.
Okay. So my My next awesome sauce was Abraham and Sasha coming out from after they crashed their car, just guns blazing and just taking out that little, whatever that car was. Was it a Kia? I don't know. Like Kia Sorento or something. I don't know what it was. Something.
It wasn't a Kia Sorento because that's what I drive. A Sorento. Kia Sorento is an SUV.
I don't know what it is.
It was something like that, like that's or a Hyundai.
Only Kia I know. Probably because of commercials or this show or something. I don't know. Anyway.
Well, it's funny that you mentioned that because that was also Dieta's awesome sauce moment. She said when Sasha and Abraham came back around the corner, guns a-blazing.
Oh, that's hilarious. I didn't even see that she said that. Great minds, Dieta. Great minds think alike because we're awesome.
Is that all you have for awesome sauce?
Well, I think the next one that I have is something I'm actually going to want to talk about more in depth. So,
okay.
I'm going to say, so yes, that's it.
I think it's time to have...
I'd like to have a call. Discussion on this topic. You think we can manage that? You think we can manage that?
That's even funnier knowing that this was a Daryl episode.
Yeah.
Okay. What did you want to talk about first?
Well, do you want to start at the end or do you want to start at the beginning? Because what I was going to say for my awesome sauce, I changed my mind. So...
Is that the end?
It was at the end, yes.
Okay, then let's go with it.
It was, okay, so I had originally written down for one of my awesome sauce that Daryl goes back to the questions, except for this time, they don't work. And I thought it was cool to see the return of the three questions, but I mean, it just clearly backfired royally, and I don't know if the... What it is, you know, I mean, apparently the questions worked before when they were at the prison, right? Because they used them all the time to, I guess, sort of collect new people or whatever. But they, I don't know, because they're, okay, so this guy recognizes that Daryl is not, quote, one of them. And he's basically a good person, you know. He's willing to help people out because it's the right thing to do. That, I mean, he even helps them bury Tina. Okay, so Daryl helps bury Tina, but they still screw him over in the end. I'm just like, I don't understand why they... I mean, they shared that look and they were like, you know, crap's going down or whatever. I don't know. I don't understand why they did that, I guess. What are your...
Well, as soon as they had that look, I knew that they were going to double cross him. I think I had some thought about that, and if Daryl had offered something a little more tangible, like for example, he didn't know where his friends were, he didn't know if they had transportation, you know, he didn't know if he could reach them. I mean, all of that stuff.
Well, he knew that they had a car, though. He said, "We can walk. I can walk the bike, and then you know, when we get back with them, they have a car. You can ride with them."
Right, but they didn't know, and they weren't going to trust it, you know. So I think it was an example, and I think my take on it was confirmed. I watched the making of video, and Gail Ann Hurd on there said that sometimes when you are too scared, you make stupid decisions, and in the case of these two, they were too scared to make the correct decision, which would have been to go with Daryl. Instead, they're going to go back to this place, which I have some thoughts about that place, by the way.
Me too. So do you think that's what they're doing then? They're going to go back? I mean, that's what Daryl says, but he doesn't say it. I mean, he says it in a question/statement. You know, they don't refute him, but... I mean, he doesn't know for sure because they don't say, we're going to go back. He's like, you know, you're going to go back, you're going to kneel or whatever. And I don't know. You think that's what they're going to do?
Yep.
And I think it's interesting because just like seconds earlier or minutes maybe, I think it was, well, anyway, one of them says, people will trade anything for safety. Which is basically what they do. I mean, they trade basically a chance for, you know, I guess a bird in the hand is worth two in the bush or whatever. And I think that's kind of a telling statement for one thing. And I think it's also somewhat true now. I mean, people, especially in this country and especially after 9/11, people give up their, you know, we've slowly been giving up our freedom for security. And golly, I can't remember the exact quote, but something about people who trade, I don't know, safety for freedom or something like that deserve neither.
Yeah.
I can't remember the exact quote. I probably butchered it, but that's the general gist. And I don't know. It's a different world. So I don't know that I could necessarily say that that's true anymore about, you know, deserving neither or whatever. But it's, I don't know. It's a delicate balance.
It seemed to me that they, you know, I guess it's the devil you know versus the devil you don't know.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, clearly they did not like what they were leaving.
Yeah. And that's what I didn't understand. I mean, according to them, I felt like they completely negated everything that they said previously in the episode, honestly. Like, you know,
it's almost like they did all of it for Tina. And then with Tina, you know, dead, they just kind of,
yeah, maybe it wasn't that bad.
I don't know. It seemed,
yeah. I mean, you might be right about that, because she does say at one point in the episode, she says, you can go back, you can say it was all me. So maybe you just, you know, hit the nail on the head there. Maybe it really is. It was all about her or whatever. Although I don't really know. Well, okay. There were a lot of interesting things that I heard that I kind of wrote down about, or I should say, between these three, about these three, around these three, and the other people, them, so to speak. So,
yeah, they were very cryptic in what they were saying. Like, I saw Tina refer to the one, the woman, the other girl as Cher.
Yeah.
But on the story sync and in captions, it referred to her as Honey.
Yes. And also, oh no, sorry. That was not okay. Yeah. Yeah, in the closed captioning, it was always, you know, Honey sobs or Honey this, that, or the other. And I'm wondering if, okay, here's what I think, honestly. I think the closed caption people spelled it wrong, and it was supposed to be Cher, like C-H-E-R, which is French for deer. And, you know, I don't know if she is Creole or whatever, or, you know, from New Orleans or whatever, but that's a very common term of endearment, I guess. There, mm-hmm. Is, you know, Cher. And I'm sure if I could speak with a Creole accent, you guys would understand what I'm talking about, but I can't, so I won't attempt it. But yeah, so I thought maybe that was it. Cause I mean, it's kind of, it means deer, but it could also be honey, you know, like that's kind of what I was thinking. Maybe she was, cause they spelled it S-H-E-R, but
yeah,
in French and also Creole, it's C-H-E-R. Like the singer.
Okay. So as Ruthie knows, well, most listeners know that have listened to us before, neither of us have read the comic books. One of these days I'm going to, because it's getting to the point where it's like I keep talking about it. I'm just going to have to do it. But I listen to tons of Walking Dead podcasts. I think they've finally reached the number that I can't listen to them all anymore. It's just too many. But anyway, a lot of them, of course, talk about the comic books. And I know that in the Negan's, you know, his society or whatever, his camp, there are two people that are in there. One is Sherry and the other one is Dwight. So, and Dwight, now, you know, they took the crossbow, which of all things, they took Daryl's crossbow.
I know, they're definitely going to get it. They've pretty much just sealed their TV fate.
Yeah. Anyway, Dwight in the comic book uses a crossbow. So I don't know if this is Dwight. A lot of people on the interwebs think it's Dwight, but I don't think they've said specifically that his name was Dwight.
No, I didn't see a name for him. I saw a name for them as well as two other people, but I did not see a name for our mystery man. So
I think they may have called him D, but that's it. Mm. And even when I went to look for it,
I don't know. I didn't see it.
Even when I went to look for it, I could not find the reference to D. But anyway, it could be this character, Dwight. I don't know. I can't say for sure.
I guess we'll find out.
Yeah.
Probably soon, too, because Daryl's not going to stand for having his motorcycle and his crossbow taken. I mean, come on. We're sorry. You're going to be. That's right.
Yeah. So Daryl, okay. Daryl without a motorcycle. I mean, we've seen Daryl without a motorcycle, but I don't think we've ever seen Daryl without a crossbow.
Not for any extended period of time, I don't think.
No. Maybe the longest may have been when they were in Terminus.
Yeah.
That's it, you know. And he got it right back.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Yeah, I'm not sure that, I don't know if they've ever actually ended an episode with him not having it, you know, like they did here.
Yeah, and the funny thing is, I think, you know, he had that jacket with the wings and the crossbow, and he was kind of known for that. Mm-hmm. And now he has neither.
I thought it was a vest. Was it not a vest?
Yeah, I guess it was a vest. And I'm not 100% sure that he came out of there with neither, but that's what I heard. So I'd have to go back and look.
Yeah, well, we know he didn't really, he kind of took him off and laid him right there, but didn't really pick him back up while his motorcycle was getting stolen. So I don't know. I guess we'll see. But yeah. So I think we're kind of dancing around it, but this sudden gunfire out of nowhere group, is that's Negan's group, right?
I think so.
That's what I think.
Yeah.
It's the only thing that really makes sense to me. I mean, we know that the character's coming at the end of the season, and there were a lot of things that were said, Honey says, more than once, we earned what we took. Right. And then the guy, let's just call him Dwight for now, because we don't have another name for him, says, well, Daryl's like in and out, and he says, probably hates him too. And let's see, what else?
Kneeling.
Yeah, there's a lot of talk about kneeling more than once, which is interesting. Okay, so while, you know, Daryl does his little trick with the thing and the guy gets his arm bitten and then they
got a boo-boo.
Chop it off. I know, that was hilarious. Cam got a boo-boo. So it's Wade and Cam. Those are the two names that we learned from this group. And Wade says, he's like, he gets back on the walkie and he's like, we're going to call it quits or whatever. He only wants to take it so far, blah, blah, blah. He says he only wants ass that's willing.
Yeah.
So I'm thinking, well, at least this jerk face isn't a rapist, I guess, maybe.
Yeah.
I don't know. That might be an assumption, but it kind of sort of indicates, you know, something about what's kind of going on in this this little compound, I guess.
Which sounds like it's not exactly small.
For sure.
If Dwight and Cher or Honey haven't met everyone.
Right. Don't know everybody.
That makes it sound like there are hundreds, maybe even thousands there.
Well, at least hundreds. I mean.
Yeah. Hundreds.
Thousands seems like. I don't know that.
Yeah.
Well, I don't know.
Yeah. Hundreds. I'm safe. I think it's safe to say hundreds.
Definitely.
And hundreds could be anywhere from 100 to 999. So.
Yeah. Well, it could be. I mean, you could still have hundreds of thousands. So.
Yeah.
But yeah.
Somehow I don't think so.
Yeah. Well, I don't think so either. But, you know, I mean, I was thinking about before I was about to say, I mean, it's a group of people. Why would, you know, that many people put up with that kind of crap? But then I remembered Mad Max and I was like, oh, yeah. Well, people will trade anything for safety. Because they're stupid.
Part of it reminded me that whole thing about earning what you took, and then, you know, he says you're gonna give back what you took.
Yep.
Plus, you're gonna pay for the gas that it took us to get here. Plus, something else. I think he said.
Yeah.
Them you know, trying to track them down, I think.
Yeah. Plus
it reminded me of Grady Memorial Hospital.
Yes.
That whole servitude thing. Yeah. Sounded like, you know, you're trading freedom for safety. And like you said earlier. And again, this is spoiler. If you don't want to hear this, you know, and again, this is coming from someone that has not read the comic book, but everything I've heard about Negan, this sounds like Negan's group. The group is, I think, called the Saviors in the comic book.
Oh, lovely.
And these are things about Negan. He is misogynistic, but at the same time, you know, so he's got a harem of many women.
Yeah,
all of them harem being
was what I was thinking when I heard. Yeah, that line.
He has a harem of ex girlfriends and wives of the men that are under him, and he detests rape. So, you know, so yet at the same time, he's a thug, and, you know, they're doing this kind of like servitude combined with protection racket, you know, like the mafia or something.
Mm-hmm.
You know, be a tragedy if something would have happened to this business. So anyway, it does indicate that I am definitely looking forward to this. I wouldn't be surprised if we get some more little tidbits of Negan's group as we go forward with the season. So assuming we're right, we could be wrong. This could be a one-off, but I doubt it.
Yeah, it could be, but it seems way, way, way too. I mean, they took his crossbow and his bike.
Yeah. And the guy that played Wade, you know, they didn't actually show him, but he had a credit, but in looking him up, this is a guy that has been in a lot of stuff. In fact, since we're both Star Trek fanatics, he was a Cardassian on Deep Space Nine.
Oh, who was he? Do you know? Did he have a?
I didn't have a chance to look it up, but if you look him up on IMDb, you'll see one of the pictures he's got in there is he's a Cardassian.
All right, I'm looking it up. Okay, carry on.
I knew you would.
Okay, I'm just going to interject here. I think it's hilarious that when I'm typing into IMDb, I type in the space and The Walking Dead is the first thing that shows up. I think that's funny.
Yeah.
Anyway, sorry.
I guess the last thing I would say about those three is Tina was pretty stupid to, you know, that was a stupid thing to do. She goes up to these walkers that are, you know, encased in glass. Obviously, it was a greenhouse and it melted. And these people were asleep or something in there.
Who knows?
And or whatever. And they were, you know, the glass melted around them. It was that hot. And she then breaks the glass. You can hear her like stepping on it, breaking the glass, which got them free. And then she falls down and she's a goner. That was pretty dumb.
Yeah, I saw a similar thing happen. I thought she was standing over them, like right over them. She's, you know, made some noise or something. They woke up, broke through the glass when they reached her. What I didn't understand was why she fell when she stepped back. I was like, and then she, like, I don't know, fell directly onto them so that they could grab her and nom, nom, nom.
Nom, nom, nom. Yeah.
I was like, man, I'm sorry, but maybe it's really super mean and cruel, but I guess if you're that dumb, you don't deserve to live in the zombie apocalypse.
And it's funny, you know, we were talking about this before, but I'm surprised if she was that dumb. You know, having diabetes, you know, I'm surprised she was able to live that long. Obviously, she must have been able to live that long under the protection of Negan. I guess they have insulin.
Yeah, they've got insulin, and I guess wonder maybe was she trading sex for insulin or something? I don't know. Let me see if there was anything else. I Oh, I did think it was hilarious that he said, right after that guy chopped his arm off, he said, walk it off. It's like, yeah, that's what I would do if I had my arm chopped off. I'm just going to walk it off.
It's just a flesh wound.
You know, right? 'Tis but a scratch. Okay. I thought it was cool to see the questions again, but what I thought it was also really cool that Daryl found Patty in the end. It was like, well, you got the bike. Daryl got Patty.
Did you have any idea that was Patty?
Not at the time.
I had no idea that was Patty until afterwards, seeing the license plate. They were so cryptic.
It was Patty until I watched Talking Dead, and I was like, oh, the truck was Patty? Which makes sense if it's pretty obvious, I guess, after the fact, you know, because it's Patrick something or other fueling, and you're just kind of like, oh. I mean, it's so... Yeah. I mean, clearly you're meant to think that Patty is a woman and they're freaking out because she's missing, but it's a truck.
You know, I guess there's one more thing to bring up. What did you think about what they did to the forest there?
Well, for one thing, I thought it was very interesting that the guy says, you know, we were fighting. We thought everybody was fighting. And, it kind of made me think that, well, I guess maybe there are people who maybe they don't want the zombie apocalypse to end because it's beneficial to them to have society be in a situation such as it is. So I don't know. What do you think about that?
I think so. I think, it's like Pope from Falling Skies, similar kind of thing. He excelled in that, situation. More than he did in real life. And I think Daryl is much the same way. But they're, you know, I think if Daryl had to pick between the way things are now and the way things were, you know, pre-apocalypse, I think it would pick pre-apocalypse at this point.
Yeah.
But there are some people that, of course, you know, aren't so pure of heart.
Correct. Although I will say that Daryl, and this is kind of the last thing that I will say, he sort of confused me this episode a little bit because he goes back to give them the duffel bag. But, you know, I mean, everybody knew he was going to go back. That's kind of like a given, right? But then he goes back, but then he's going to barter for it. I was like, what? You're either going to go back and give it to him or you're not. But you're going to go back and give it to him and say, here, I came all this way back, and now give me your gun and whatever that thing you were carving is. I'm just like, what? That seems so out of character to me. I'm like, I don't know. To me, that does not seem like Daryl at all. It's like him going back, yes, him going back and saying, I brought this back for you, now give me that thing. I was just like, what? What just happened here? So, I don't know. What do you think about that?
I thought it was kind of weird. That he would do that, but I guess he felt like, look, you put me through all this trouble. I got to get something out of it.
I guess, but dang, I don't know. I thought this is sort of uncharacteristic, I guess. Maybe. I don't know.
Okay. Should we move on to Abraham and Sasha?
Let's do it.
First of all, I think we have to start with, did you see Abraham coming on to Sasha? Like, was that a surprise to you?
Oh, yeah, that was out of left field.
Whoa.
Not only that, but I'm like, say what now? You have some stuff to take care of. So Rosita is stuff to take care of now. I guess maybe we didn't see the end of their relationship or something, but I guess their relationship ended.
Or I don't think
something.
So.
Well, she was certainly flirting with Spencer, so they're both kind of on the same page.
Yeah, but if you think about JSS, something that Spencer said, that she said to Spencer, she said, you know, like, it was like, the people, Abraham, this place, those are things worth, living for. I think Rosita, loves Abraham, and Abraham just thinks of her as a piece. You know, he's just, he doesn't feel the same way about Rosita as she does him.
Mm.
And if you think about it, I mean, we don't know Abraham's actual age. We know how old Michael Cudlitz is versus Christian Serratos. And, you know, she's about half of his age. So I don't know if there's that much of a age difference, but there clearly is quite a significant age difference in their characters. Whereas Sasha and Abraham would be, you know, in much, much closer together in age, I would say. So I could see, you know, Abraham kind of being intrigued by Sasha. And of course, Sasha is, an attractive woman, but nevertheless, I did not see this coming. I mean, I guess maybe, you know, climbing on a fence, you know, yelling and screaming at Walker, like literally inches from him. I didn't understand that whole thing.
Yeah, I was a little, what?
It was kind of a, you know, a come to Jesus moment,
I guess, or something. What I thought was super funny about that whole little thing was he's kind of, I guess, grappling with this walker that's suspended by his shoulder. I put slap face in his in my notes. I put they're playing slap face, but I mean they're not really. But it's kind of, it reminded me of when, have you ever tried to like pet a puppy that just wants to play and like kind of playfully bite your hand or whatever? Like the dog does not want you to touch the top of its head. That's kind of how I felt in this scene. Like he's kind of like moving his hand around and the walker's like, I just want to bite you. I was like, this is so weird. And the way, and the, you know, the cuts back and forth and kind of stuff, I just thought, well, this is very interesting. And I mean, I understood the screaming for the most part, but the whole like other leading up to that part, I was kind of like, what?
I didn't get it. I mean, he clearly could have stabbed the walker, you know, and put him out of his misery. And then I guess he would have tried to go after the launcher, because I think that was the whole point of it.
Oh, but, absolutely.
Yeah. But then he finally thought, you know, what's the point? Or, you know, this is too risky. But then, of course, he got a nice little surprise when the walker got a little too
animated,
a little too excited, and decided to, you know, end up as stew on wherever the bottom of that was. But yeah, that whole thing was kind of weird. How come he didn't take the Humvee? Even try to start that thing? I would have thought that he would have went after that thing, you know?
I don't know. The only thing I can say is maybe he did and we didn't see it. So maybe, yeah. I don't know, maybe there was something wrong with it. Is that a gas? I mean, it's kind of like, yeah, I don't know. But I mean, it's a good question, except for I just didn't really think about it.
Yeah. But now they have RPGs mm-hmm. and a rocket launcher. And I have something to say about that later. But what?
The rocket launcher is the RPG.
Okay. Well, he.
The rocket propelled grenade.
Okay. They had the grenades and the launcher. So that's what I meant. But, and of course, he got the cigars, which if I have ever seen a cigar smoking guy, it's Abraham. He looks perfect for it.
Mm-hmm. I saw this little, I was looking, okay, so I was at that link on the Walking Dead Facebook page shared about the Abrahamisms or whatever. Somebody put a little meme together of a picture of Abraham and a picture of the blonde mustachioed guy from Clash of Clans or Clan, whatever that clan clash. Clash of the Clans thing is or whatever, right next to each other. They look identical. It's hilarious. Clash of Clans. Yeah.
What did you make of him putting on that uniform?
Well, I think, honestly, I mean, we know he was, it was Army, right? Or at least some branch of the military he was.
He was Army.
Involved in. Okay. So yeah. We know that he was in the military. I think he maybe was just kind of, I don't know, maybe he was just being nostalgic, or maybe it had more significant meaning or something. I think also that was one of the things that they said on Talking Dead about him and the walker, that the impaled one, that it was more than just that. It was, I mean, he's seeing the patch on the guy's, you know, uniform or whatever, and it's kind of, maybe he's getting a little flashbacky, maybe he's getting a little PTSD, who knows. But I think the uniform was kind of like, hey man, this used to be me, what do you think? Or something. I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know. Well, plus he had that nice rip. I guess he got that from climbing the
fence. Like a dumbass.
The walker in that place. Would you have killed it? They seem to just be content.
Well, Sasha was certainly content. Abraham was definitely not.
Yeah.
He, and this is, okay, this is one distinction I noticed between them. But to answer your question, I don't think I would have left it, mainly because I am more in along the lines of being prudent. It's better to be safe than sorry. You think it's secure for now, but you never know what might happen in the future, and that thing could get out and kill you because you didn't take care of it. However, I think that the office was locked from the inside, so they would have had to have like broken the glass or something to get into it, I think. But this is what I thought about Abraham and Sasha, is that she seems very zen now. I don't know if you remember last season, she was very like, you know, lying on top of the dead walkers that she had killed and just kind of going out on her little killing spree, and whether or not that was, yeah, I'm trying to die or I just want to kill them all, whatever.
Abraham mentioned that a couple of times, you know, her, her actions at that party and how she, Abraham got cut from, I think that was that, at time they were kind of doing the ducking and weaving of the walkers and letting them drop off the side of that bridge. And Sasha decided to break, formation and went after them. And, he got cut from her actions, I think. Do you remember that?
I remember her breaking formation. Yes.
Yeah.
So like I was saying, Sasha seems very zen now compared to last season, where she, it kind of seemed like she sort of had a need to kill walkers, like she would go out and hunt them and all that kind of stuff. But we know from previous episodes that Abraham has, I mean, he said before, I just really, really like doing it. You know, it's something that he really thoroughly enjoys. I don't know that it's necessarily a need for him to do so. But I think it's kind of like, that's kind of the difference between them, I guess, is that she doesn't need to anymore, but he kind of needs to because he really, really wants to.
Yeah. So she was clearly, you know, not in a good headspace at, you know, the second half of last season for obvious reasons. I mean, considering she had lost Bob and Tyrese in a, you know, very short amount of time, but it does seem that she's kind of made peace with it. And I guess Abraham's kind of, you know, coming back from his point where he was kind of being reckless now. But I don't know. I'm still really surprised about the whole Abraham Sasha thing. At least Sasha was, you know, said that you've got some stuff to do, and, you know, And like you said, clearly what she meant was, you know, you've got to talk to Rosita. And I guess that frees up Rosita for Spencer. So I guess the last thing to talk about was the very end. So who do you think that was on that walkie-talkie?
I don't have any idea, but one thing I was happy about was that the closed captioning did not ruin it this time. It just said, man on walkie.
Yeah. And I know that Norman Reedus has been interviewed, and he says that it's not Glenn. Now, I've listened to that multiple times with headphones on, and I will agree, although I want it to be Glenn, it does not sound like Glenn's voice. I am willing to accept that. But then if it's not Glenn, who is it?
It's that guy that stole his motorcycle.
Well, why would he be calling?
I don't know, but that's who I thought it was immediately.
Is it a trap?
I have no idea. That's just when I heard that voice, I thought, oh, it's that guy. He thinks that he's going back to the well again. He thinks Daryl's going to come and help him like he did before, even though he stole his motorcycle.
That could be. And it could be another character. Now, what if there was that whole theory about Nicholas and Glenn where it was some kind of hallucination? What if that other voice was Nicholas?
I don't know.
Yeah, I kind of hope that that's not what they're going to go for, because that's, I don't know, that seems cheap to me. It just seems like a cheap gimmick to, you know, it's almost like Who Shot JR or, mm-hmm. you know, that kind of, I know there's that one season of Dallas that the whole thing was a dream or something like that. You know, that's kind of what it seems like. And I hope that that's not what it ends up being with Glenn. And I'm okay with it not being anything to do with Glenn. But my thought was that if Glenn needed to be rescued, they've got a tanker full of gasoline and a rocket launcher. Doesn't that seem like a good thing to make a big fire, which would certainly divert the walkers away from Glenn and probably a lot of them away from Alexandria too?
Probably.
So it could be used to get rid of the walkers at Alexandria, or it could be used for Glenn, or it could be used for some other purpose. But I have to think that that's Chekhov's rocket launchers and, like Sophie said, and Chekhov's tanker.
Yep.
Do you have anything else?
Well, yeah, actually.
Okay.
Well, just a couple things, I guess. I thought it was funny that Sasha says we don't need to leave breadcrumbs, but that's kind of what she's doing. She writes Dixon on the door and makes that big, huge, like, purposeful footprint or whatever. Like, there's breadcrumbs and then there's breadcrumbs, I guess. I thought it was very, I think that what she says in this one scene is very key to him coming to, I guess, the realization that he comes to, that he, you know, wants to get to know her a whole hell of a lot more. She says, you're always accountable. It's just with all that other noise, you know, people won't notice. So she's basically, I mean, she is. She's calling him out on his bullshit. And I think that her words really kind of unnerve Abraham a little bit. They sort of make him, I guess, reflect. And he, I guess that's kind of when he comes to his, in that scene where he's, you know, grappling with that walker. And he kind of realizes that he doesn't have to be like a, you know, bull in a china shop and just slay everything in his path. He can, you know, let some of them go or whatever. And in the end, it pays off. So I guess it was worth it to do that. But also just at the very end, there's another shot of the rearview mirror. It seems like they do that a lot where they show, you know, they have a scene of some character is looking in the rearview mirror, kind of at the path that they've taken, the journey that they've gone on to arrive at their, you know, realization that they have at the end of the episode.
Mm-hmm. I thought of two other things. You notice at the beginning, they do that turn at 6:42, and we never see the herd of walkers, thousands of walkers again. I wonder where they're going. But I thought it was odd that, you know, they never came back into the story.
I didn't really think it was odd. I mean, they sped up and turned away completely from them. So I would hope that they would have ended it in such a way that they would not be able to follow them. Otherwise, what's the point?
Yeah, and I wouldn't expect walkers to turn left at 6:42. And we don't know how far they were going down 6:42 when they got ambushed.
It didn't seem like very far, that's for sure.
No, it didn't. The only other thing that I had is that Daryl's actions and Glenn's actions, and, you know, are two examples this half season of no good deed goes unpunished.
Yeah, I was thinking that exact same thing. I was like, man, no good deed.
You know, so he was trying to recruit, and I don't know. Do you think that they were actually worthy of, would they have been okay citizens of Alexandria, you think?
I think they could have been, but I don't know. To me, they were kind of too much all over the place. Like, we're running away and we hate those people, but now that Tina's dead, we're going to go back.
Yeah.
That's a little bit too flip-floppy for me, I guess. I mean, just, I don't know, have some convictions. Either you hate that place and all it stands for, or it's not really as bad as all that.
And I guess that means that Cher or Honey or what have you will end up being...
back in the harem?
Yeah, back in the harem. A concubine.
I kind of was wondering, what is the relationship between these three people? I mean, it seems like Cher and Tina, or Honey, whatever, and Tina were related, but how did Dwight fit in?
I think that Cher and Tina were sisters. It seemed that way by the way that they were acting, and I think there may have been something said to that fact.
Yeah, she said when we were growing up,
that's right,
me and Tina used to watch their kids or whatever.
That's right. That's right. So there's that. So I think they were brother and sister, sister and sister, and I think Dwight, or whatever you want to call the guy, we're calling him Dwight, was either Honey, Cher, I don't know what to call her, Honey Bunches of Oats, husband or boyfriend. That's my take. Now, I didn't see a ring, but it seemed to me that they knew each other prior to the start of the apocalypse. So I would think either, you know, boyfriend, fiance, or husband was my take.
Well, I guess if he likes what he sees, he should put a ring on it.
That's right. you got anything else?
Nope.
All right. Time for feedback. So I guess I'll start it. First feedback came from Sophie, and she was really surprised. She says, OMG, am I really the first to give feedback despite being unable to watch the show live? Which, of course, she's from Sweden. So it was kind of funny. She got first person to write in with feedback. It absolutely sounded like Glenn in the walkie at the end, but Norman Reedus has already denied that. I just want an answer to Glenn now. This is getting old fast. I want to talk about the episodes, not about Glenn's fate for 5 weeks. I was not expecting the ambush, so that surprised me, which is nice. I don't know what's going on with Abraham. Dude, don't hit on Sasha. Ugh. I don't want any new romantic relationships on this show. It's a waste of time, in my opinion. When I think back, I can't really remember what happened despite the episode feeling short, which is usually an indication of it being content heavy. I'm surprised that the couple turned on Daryl, even though I got suspicious as soon as he started asking lots of questions about his friends. I'm so glad he was smart enough not to tell them anything of value. So this new group has never come across the Alexandrians before? Oh, well, I guess this will be Negan's gang, and I'm sure we will see more of them. Good thing Alexandria has a wall of walkers protecting them at the moment, though. I had originally given this a 7.5, but I changed my rating to a 7 after a rewatch. The episode was slow after the initial ambush, and I didn't care about the Sasha Abraham stuff at all, actually. Kill them off! Ooh, that's kind of harsh.
Yeah, that is kind of harsh, but I was super surprised that that couple turned on Daryl, too. And I also, I mean, they're like, so, how many friends did you say you had? Where was this place? And all that kind of stuff. Kind of makes you wonder, actually, now that I think about it. Are they going to go and trade that information for their return?
Probably. I wouldn't be surprised.
Which makes them even more douchebaggy. Like, I didn't mind. Like, I get it. You know, they're scared. They're kind of freaking out. But to turn on someone who just helped you that quickly, to me, I'm like, yeah, I think you guys maybe kind of deserve to be in the spot that you're in. That's what I think about that.
Yeah.
Okay, next we have Corey, who is a host of a couple of podcasts here at GSM. He hosts Triple Cast and 12 Monkeys Uncaged, which is actually quite good.
Yes, it is.
Basically, there's a picture, and it says, "This is me waiting to find out what happened to Glenn." And it's a picture of a walker.
A very decrepit walker.
Yep.
Yes. Bob says, the first 10 to 15 minutes were good. I was surprised by the ambush. I had no fear that Daryl was in trouble. He is safe. Sorry, but I just don't care about Glenn. I don't care. The show needs to kill off a major character.
I would have to say I'm caring less and less the more they drag it on.
It is kind of distasteful, actually, that they're dragging it on this long. I really hope that they're learning something from this. That they shouldn't do this again.
I just ever don't understand why. I mean, we already did the Sophia thing one time. So the only thing I could think of is that somehow now he's going to miraculously be alive, because that's the only way that it would be significantly different from what happened with Sophia, for it to not feel like a complete and total ripoff.
Yeah, but I mean, if they were going to do this, I mean, they should have not made it so ambiguous that he's almost like Schrodinger's.
Well, yeah, they said that on Talking Dead. He's Schrodinger's Glenn. He's both alive and dead until we see him.
Yeah, I have to think about that. It's not about the box. It's about the cat.
Mm-hmm. Right. All right, so Robert C. says, as someone who enjoys cigars, I was so happy when Abraham found that half box of cigars. We will just hand wave past the condition those cigars would be in, no doubt. P.S. I would have rated cigar lounges day one. That's funny. Good to know where your priorities are, Robert C.
I had thought about that myself. It's like, how did that box of cigars not end up all waterlogged and, you know,
I mean, they are stored in like a humidifier or some kind of dehumidifying device or something, aren't they? I don't know.
Yeah. Well, usually, yeah.
Not a cigar person. And from what I understand, DC is sort of humid.
Yes.
If they were in Colorado, maybe, or I should say New Mexico, because that place will suck the moisture right out of your hands.
Right. Nevada. Jeff of Gotham Undercover. Podcast here at GSM and a longtime contributor of many Golden Spiral Media podcasts, says, I like the episode and seeing how Daryl has changed over the course of the show. This does not mean people always trust him, like the new trio/duo, but he still has hope to help others.
Yes, definitely. Daryl is awesome. Okay, Dieta says, I was all excited. Then it was gone. Well, we now know what happens to Sasha, Daryl, and Abraham. I was so confused when those crazy folks in the forest were talking about Patricia. It wasn't until I saw Talking Dead that I figured that out. Sasha and Abraham, ew. Why is everyone trying to hook up? LOL. Anywho, I can't believe they stole Daryl's motorcycle and crossbow. In my Daryl voice, they are going to be sorry. That's my Daryl voice.
That was a bad...
I know. New villains on the horizon. What was in that cooler? Insulin? Who are the people in the forest? I heard that help come across the walkie-talkie, but it didn't sound like Glenn to me. Was it the people who stole his motorcycle? Are Daryl and them going back to Alexandria? IDK, but this episode just filled me with questions. I would just like to say that I knew what IDK meant, but I appreciate the interpretation for me. Thank you.
Yes. Yes, of course. IDK is I don't know.
Yes.
And I could totally understand, Deanna, why you might think that I would not get that one, but I did get that too.
Yeah, I had almost the same thoughts. I can't believe they stole Daryl's motorcycle. And it wasn't until I saw Talking Dead that I knew what Patty was.
Yeah. It was very confusing because it was like they looked for Patty and then they said that Patty wasn't here. And I thought they were referring to the fact that, you know, Patty was a walker or something. And, you know, when I first saw it the first time, I thought that they were at Del Arno Foods. The place where, you know, at the season finale, the Conquer, I thought that they had gone back there. It looked very familiar to that, but obviously it wasn't.
Interesting.
Lynn says, I can't believe they took away Daryl's crossbow. Not the crossbow. I never trusted those two, though. As for Abraham and Sasha, I did not see that coming.
Yeah, I don't think anybody did, quite honestly.
Doesn't seem like it.
Sort of feels like it was out of left field for sure.
He wants to make a few plays.
Yeah. Although I will say, going back to the Talking Dead, that Paget Brewster is correct that it was kind of like, ooh, when Abraham was like, a man can tell.
Yeah. And going back and watching it, I watched it again today. There were some, actually some kind of subtle hints of Sasha, the way that she was like, asking him, like, you know, why did you come? Or, you know, that, it did seem like she was kind of flirting with him. So I was kind of surprised because I didn't see it on first or second watch, but I saw it on third.
See, I don't know if I would necessarily consider that flirting, but maybe.
Well, whatever you want to call it, kind of leading question, I guess.
See, I had a different interpretation about that, but okay. So, Cutter says, great to see a Daryl-centric episode. I get the feeling it was Negan's crew after the guy and two girls, and I'm hoping that was Glenn's help there at the end.
Well, I do too. Whether it was Glenn on that other, you know, on that walkie-talkie or somebody else, I do hope it was related to Glenn. But we'll find out.
Maybe it was Enid.
Well, I don't think it was Enid. It did not sound like a woman's voice. Definitely sounded like a man.
Well, they did say man on walkie in the closed captions, so...
Yes. True. All right. So, to submit your theories and feedback, go to goldenspiralmedia.com/feedback, where you can submit both written and audio feedback. And then, of course, there's our Facebook group, which is facebook.com/groups/walkingdeadgsm. And that is where we've got a lot of activity. In fact, we have a few new people that joined up, in the last couple of days. Welcome.
Yes.
And yeah, it's been actually in the last, I guess, since Fear started, the activity in that group has been great, and we're all happy to see it, you know, flourish. The deadline for submitting feedback is 6 p.m. Eastern, 5 p.m. Central Time, the Tuesday after the episode has aired.
Okay, so if you want to find out all the different ways that you can connect with us, go to walkingdeadtalkthrough.com, and you can see everywhere we are, which is mainly Facebook and occasionally Twitter.
I should also mention, we've been getting a lot of feedback on Twitter, although we haven't really incorporated it on the podcast, from Ken from Chicago is his Twitter name. So thanks, Ken. To support the Walking Dead Talk Through, we ask you to go to iTunes and rate us and give us a review. And that helps other people be able to find us. That moves us up in the Walking Dead rankings. And believe me, it's like every week I go look and there are more Walking Dead podcasts. It's like they're growing like weeds. So help, give us a review. And of course, if you're in another country other than US, send us a little message and let us know that you've written a review, and we'll certainly acknowledge you. To do that, you can go to goldenspiralmedia.com/iTunes, or of course, search for us in iTunes. And with Christmas coming, there is the information that Ruthie will provide in the blog post that will help you support us by going to use the Amazon affiliate link. So help us by using Amazon.
Yes.
So our next episode, and there are only two left this year.
Two left this year.
So after this one, there's one more. So Heads Up is the next episode, written by Channing Powell, directed by David Boyd. And this description is as follows. Alexandria is finally able to begin pulling itself back together. Peace is embraced between the two groups. That almost sounds too peaceful, and that it's deceptive. I'm expecting something else.
Yeah. Peace is embraced, huh? Okay.
And this is it for this episode, but until next time, I'm Brian.
And I'm Ruthie.
And this is
The Walking Dead Talk Through.
Good night, everybody.
Bye.
Are you a podcaster who loves creating great content but gets overwhelmed by the audio editing process? Are you a business professional or an entrepreneur that wants to start a podcast but aren't sure where to begin? You need Pro Podcast Solutions. Pro Podcast Solutions has a robust suite of services to equip podcasters and help podcasters create better content than ever before. Visit ProPodcastSolutions.com today and find out how you can get your first episode produced for free. That's ProPodcastSolutions.com.